was two greasy girls.
Who cares?
Also, for everyone who's watching on YouTube, just to follow up on the whole color theory discussion from a few weeks ago, this is not one of my harmonious colors. Like, this is actually a color for me to avoid. And I think you can tell. I think you can tell that I should be avoiding this.
Is it it's a like light pink one?
It's like a lavendery light pink. And I feel like it's just really not doing a lot for me in general.
Okay, so yeah. get the color that speaks to you.
Oh, well, I really liked it in this color, but I got this before I had done my palette. Okay. But I feel like I'm going to tip it up. Like, look how much more harmonious this blue is with me in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than this purple. So
this white is washing me out drastically.
Just the color theory is...
You didn't do it for me, so I don't know what my color palette is.
Well, you didn't send me a selfie of you with natural light where I could see your eyes.
You have 10,000 photos of me. You're telling me there's not one photo that you have in your existence that it works?
All right, well, let's find one. Let's do it right now. Let's do it live.
We're basically a married couple. You and me are the top two people in my phone of photos that I have. And it's like
actually
two different versions of you as well. Bang version and non-bang version.
So there's actually two.
They're like, these are not the same person.
Well, they weren't. I'm using this real close up from one of the videos from Vegas.
That's when I dropped my phone.
Yeah, I think it is when you dropped your phone.
And then I tried to do it again.
Let's do this. Let's do this live, shall we? All right, let's see. Discover your palette. Browse photos. Photo library. Photo of Nicole. Done. Your skin tone is incredibly even, Nicole, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Apparently, you're a soft autumn.
Okay.
And now we're going to go to the other thing to look at you in a soft autumn.
Okay, great.
Vivaldi color. This is what I've been doing all of the drivers once on. So what did I say? Soft autumn?
Mm-hmm. It was just watching a TikTok on color theory.
All I think about. It's literally all I think about. Literally all I'm thinking about.
Someone was in our DMs the other day and they're like, I don't want to do this because I'm really afraid that it's going to tell me that black doesn't look good with my mood in my color wheel, and I simply can't handle that information right now. And I was like, that's so fair.
Okay, so this is you with soft autumn.
Okay,
so I think it worked. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna record my screen because I'm gonna do all of them on you so that, and I'll send it to you and you can choose which one you think is best. Okay, I just did all of them. I'm almost thinking you might be a light summer too.
I see it. I like a lot of pinks and like a lot of pastels.
I'll also send you this. There you have it, folks.
That's all she wrote.
It really is. Okay. Anyways. Anyways, how's everyone doing here?
My arm hurts. I'm so mad.
From the door handle?
Yes, dude. Ow. I'll send you a photo tomorrow because I know it's definitely not going to be in my color wheel.
I'm going to leave a mark.
Okay, Bill's Mafia.
What?
The cup behind you. Why do you have a Bill's cup?
Nick went to Nick's friend used to play on the Bills. And so he... went to a Bills game once and they all got merch.
Yeah, how could we forget when we sent Nick with the Danny Briggs shirt? So then we're like, the shirt off your back, you're giving it to Danny Rick.
Literally. And I'd do it again.
Nick is such a good trooper. Like he plays along very well with our crazy antics. So,
well, he married into it, so he better.
So true.
You literally took vows to play along with our antics. All right, let's get into it. First of all, welcome everyone. This is TG1F and F1 Podcast with Kate and Nicole. My name is Kate.
I'm Nicole.
And this is our show.
And this is our show.
And for the first time, in months. F1 is back. We're in the F1 season. We are inside the F1 season. F1, we are over the hump. You. And
that's what I like to hear.
Never felt so alive.
Truly. You know what? It's so crazy how every year we're like, oh, thank God for the break. Like, we need it. We need it. We need it. And then
we're like, fuck yeah, finally, it's back.
I'm like, I had people over for brunch on Sunday. I had a handful of folks over for their first F1 race. And I was back in the kitchen. I was cooking and I was like, this is where I thrive. I love to have friends over. I love to cook a good meal. And I love to have cars on the TV. And I love when people are like so excited to be there and they're like asking questions. They're like, okay, this might be a stupid question. I'm like, never.
Never.
What do you want to know? It's just like, it's so lovely. I feel so in my element.
I love that.
So I'm very happy that F1 is back.
I was in my element at an empty Dave and Buster's in Providence, Rhode Island. Okay, so I had done like a bunch of research about bars in the area. And the tough thing was that a lot of places weren't open for a 10 a.m. race on a Saturday. So like a lot of places opened at like noon. And I was like, well, I need to be over at 10. So I found a place finally and I called them and I was like, hey, are you guys planning on like showing the F1 race tomorrow at 10? And they were like, oh, well, there's like a soccer match on at the same time. But I'm sure that like the bartender will change one TV for you. Like, that's no problem. So I was like, okay, great. We're going here. So then we're like on our way and we called our friend who was working in Providence on Saturday. We're like, hey, come meet us at Murphy's if you like want. We're gonna watch the race there. And he was like, you're gonna go where for this? And we're like, why? And he's like, that's literally like, first of all, it's a soccer bar, so like good luck. And second of all, there is a Providence College basketball game at noon. And that bar is literally next to like where they play. And so we were like, oh, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. And we show up. Kid you not, couldn't even get in, couldn't even walk through the door. And I was like, this is not going to be it. And it doesn't feel like anyone's going to want us to change a TV to F1. So we were just like, I didn't really know where else to go. So we're just walking around. And I was like, I know that there's a Dave and Buster's, like, because I see it from my office window. So I'm like, okay, I think this, like, I know where it is at least. So we could go there. We also, I think I want to try going to, because there's a Night Shift Brewing in there too. And it's like in the same area as this place called Level 99, which is like all sorts of interactive fun stuff. So they have like escape rooms and they have all these cool, it's like, I think a lot of places go for like team building, but it's like virtual adventure courses and stuff. And I was like, I want to go in there. So maybe next time we'll try in there. But anyways, we go to Dave and Buster's. We're the first people there. The first people through the doors at Dave and Buster's.
You're like, bartender's not even at the bar yet. We're here.
Literally, bartender's not at the bar yet. There's one singular TV playing F1. It's like in the lounge, like actual seating area, not even at the bar. So I was like, I'm not going to go sit over there. That's like crazy. So we just like stood there and watched it for a little bit until the bartender came. And then my parents met us. And then like a bunch of kids came in, but it was like just us, the actual bar. Nick was like, I don't know what to do. He's like, I don't know what came over me, but I ordered a tequila soda at Dave and Buster's at 10 a.m. And he's like, I think I hit a new low in my life. And it was just like, I was just like, I feel like I'm in a fever dream right now that I'm in an empty Dave and Buster's as the number, like, first patron of the day ordering a beverage to watch cars race in the Middle East. Like,
like, what? It's just it's so funny to think about you guys just being in an empty Dave and Buster's. It's kind of like a liminal space. You're like, what are we doing here?
It was so bizarre, but I had fun.
Like, if you ever catch me at the Dave and Buster's at Atlantic Barclay Center watching Formula One, you know something is deeply wrong with me. So sorry.
I mean, you had a home to watch it in. I didn't have that chance on that day.
I can't believe there's not really like one bar in Providence who like shows the races. That feels crazy to me.
I mean, maybe there is, but I had approximately 2 days to figure it out and I didn't have a lot of time to do that. So
yeah,
that's, I feel like, fair. Once I live there, I'll be able to like suss it out a little better. I mean, I'm sure there are a bunch of bars that will do like the afternoon races, but I think it's like the morning ones are just kind of like tough. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyways, it was fun. I had a good time. We didn't get to watch the whole race because we had to leave to get back to the house for the inspectors.
Well, but tag your spoilers. Max Verstappen won.
Literally. We get there, and within like the first 2 seconds, Nick is like, okay, well, Max has like a literal 20-second lead. So like, can we leave now? Like, why are we even here?
Like, yeah, he was. It was insane, his gap. I was like, okay, well, he is a full 25 seconds ahead of Perez right now, which is insane. Perez is driving the same car as Max Verstappen, and he's 25 seconds behind him. Insane.
It was truly like, I feel like we're being punked in these seasons. Because there's no way that this should be happening. And the fact that it was so quick after the start that he already had such a
Max
big lead.
Max and Charles had about 10 seconds where they were fighting each other at the beginning. And that was it. And then it was over.
I optimistically was like, I think Charles is going to get him at turn one. It looked like it. And then Max was in front, and I was like, well, there's that. That's
all she wrote.
It crumbled, and there's no, like, Charles is not gonna like come back to fight for that now. So
this race was like we said, we always really like the first race because we really get to see how things shake out on the track, and things really did shake out on the track. Like
Alpine being P19 and P20 first, so I was like, this is not good.
It was truly a sight to be seen. Alpine literally fighting each other in the back. We had Danny and Yuki throwing down the gloves. Yuki's already had his first kind of mentee B on the radio of the season. Fantastic. That was so insane. I don't know if you got to watch it live. It was kind of towards the end, but like, when they were giving team orders, which, to be fair, I would have been pissed off if I was Yuki too, because they're like, all right, team orders, swap with Danny. Danny didn't catch K-Mag. Like, he was not able to pass him, and then they didn't give Yuki back the position. Now, granted, I understand that it was not, they weren't in scoring points position. So, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, it doesn't really matter. But they didn't even, like, give Yuki the opportunity to just, like, finish above Danny.
It's, I was like, I would be pissed. Everyone is underestimating Yuki, and I think that that's unfair. And it's just, like, what has Danny proved? Like, what has Danny proven to be able to go in front of Yuki? Like, Yuki's been racing for the past year. Danny has not. So like, why does he now, like, what has he done to prove that he should be able to go in front of Yuki on that?
Yeah. I was like, and it was so funny because we were watching like the post-race interviews too, and everyone was like, where's Yuki? I need to see Yuki do an interview because I know he's gonna pop off. And I was like, I know. It was just, and then Danny's like, oh, like, I'll hold it. I'll hold my tongue. Like, he's being such a fucking helmet. One, what is that?
First
mean?
Of all, where's the PC, please? Like, that was not chill.
Wee, wee, wee. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy thing for him to say, truly.
Daniel Joseph Ricciardo, get your shit together. That was unacceptable.
How many times do we have to say this? Truly.
You are going to be in Hot Boy jail for the next week for saying that. I'm removing him from my top. I can't keep defending you when you act like this. I can't. You can't keep getting away with it.
He makes it really, really hard.
He makes it really hard.
He makes it really hard. Like, you're pretty, but it doesn't mean you can get away with all of this.
I was talking to Bird, and she was, because I was like talking about Danny, and she goes, Nicole, you're still on about Danny. And I was like, listen, I know in my heart of hearts, I would hate him if we went on a date together. I would be like so annoyed with everything that he said. But I have a version of him in my head where he's better than that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know realistically, like, I know. However, he's just so handsome to me that I excuse his behavior sometimes. And I'll be the first to admit that that is problematic. Okay. I get it. So Carlos, on the other hand, he's moving up to number one this week.
I mean, Carlos came out with something to prove, and he proved it.
He did. And you know what? I'm excited for Carlos's reputation era this season.
The one thing I'm annoyed about is that so many people are like, oh, see, like, it proved that Carlos should have kept the seat and they should have, like, kicked Charles out for Lewis instead. And I was like, Charles' car was broken. All right? Charles' defense squad coming in hot. His car was broken. He literally said that his car had a 100-degree split between his front and left brakes. Or front, right, and left brakes. So, like, the front brakes, there was a 100-degree difference between them. So, yeah, like,
likely story. Likely.
I hate you.
For anyone who's listening, Kate's giving me the finger.
Two of them. One on each hand. I just am like, I just want to shake Ferrari and be like, can you not just give them a working car? Once.
Charles is very much giving like Harry Potter and the cursed child. Okay. Just forget what I'm gonna say here. It's not important.
I hear where you're going with it, and I don't think it's gonna be funny enough for you to keep going to tell it. Like, I see the where you're going
with
it. It's
not important. I'm running on fumes right now. Don't worry about it. Next subject.
Next. So classic that Ferrari just fucks Charles. Also, yeah, so classic is Bottas having the longest pit stop of all time. Like, why does this always happen to him? Why does this always happen to him?
I don't know.
Once a year, it's traditions. Bottas traditions meme. Traditions are Bottas having the longest pit stop of the entire season every single year.
He's got to do it, because who's going to be holding that record if not him? He's not winning the race anymore, so he's got to have some sort of, you know, record to put up on the board.
I was also laughing really hard at Checo being like, you need to shout at me. And I was like, okay, yeah, we've got a masochist on our hands.
That was so...
He wants the pain. He wants to be yelled at. He's like, you are so super funny. Quiet, mate. Speak louder. Shout. You need to shout. I was like, okay, what a sick masochistic lion.
Okay. Well, Checo needs to be yelled at to get his shit into gear.
Apparently.
Tell me what Helmut has to say about Checo.
Helmut Marko, we know that he never has anything good to say about Checo. Literally ever. Has never had one good word about Checo.
Find me one good quote from Helmut.
And even though Red Bull got a 1-2 finish this weekend, he said about Checo, he said, he has Max as a teammate, so not being destroyed is already a great achievement. Like, literally saying that at least Checo didn't crash his car. The fact that he didn't crash was a good result for him. And then he said, there are no established criteria. He has to do enough to earn that seat. And days like today, you know, that's exactly what he has to do. So, like, I guess he said something kind of nice, but in a very backhanded way.
The fact that they have noted that there's no defined criteria makes me incredibly worried for Checo.
That's like when you are at a job and you're like, okay, what are my goals in order to get promoted? And they're like, just like be successful. Like, you just have to like be enough to get promoted. And you're like, okay, well, that doesn't feel very measurable. And how do I know that I get there? And they're like, you'll just like, we'll know, which means you're never getting promoted and you should get a new job. But anyways, that's what Checo needs to do, because if there's no established criteria, Checo, hun, there's literally no way you're staying.
No, not at all. I'm worried because it just feels like no matter what he does, this is a lose-lose situation for him.
Yes, 100%.
So
yeah, The finish line is always going to be moved, because that's what happens when there's no established criteria, is that the finish line keeps moving on you. Yeah. And it's like, oh, if you do this, like maybe you'll keep the seat. Oh, but actually also this, and like also this, and it just, the finish line is going to keep moving and you're never going to reach it. And yeah. I think Checo, you know, we've said our fair share of things about Checo, but I want Checo to know his
critical
worth.
Of Checo, but
I want him to know his worth and know that he deserves to not have to deal with that.
Yeah. Checo, you'll get it together, or maybe you won't. I don't know. But you know what? Clearly, Danny is not the right person for the Red Bull seat at this point in time either. So, Checo, I feel like you're safe for now. Before we move on to standings, we would be remiss not to talk about the incredible sign that just note that came up on the Williams car that says car too hot. They're like, what? That's like kind of insane that they're just like, hey, this car is way too hot to be driving. Williams had a clusterfuck of a weekend. I am supporting right now, but I did choose them as one of my constructors for the fantasy.
It's only race one.
It's only race one, so I'm pretty nervous, but James, it's Nicole. Don't let me down, okay? And on that note, let's get into the standings for week one.
Which is really funny because I did them a little bit this morning. I at least went through for like the on track, and I did as much the off track as I could, but then I figured we should just do these on the podcast every week because like combined brain share is going to be good. But
yeah.
On track, we're literally even. We have the exact same. We tied.
Wow.
Which feels kind of crazy.
High five.
Feels crazy, right? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to share my screen because I think this will be fun for people to see on YouTube. So if you feel like watching this with us, head over to YouTube and you'll be able to watch too. So are you seeing everything?
I am seeing. I'm seeing what I need to see.
Okay, great. So let's go quickly for the on track, which is super easy because it's just how many points people got. But yeah, so you obviously got the top two finishers, but mine were more concentrated in the middle.
Yeah.
So we both ended up with 51 points.
Wow. All right. Crazy? That is crazy. Love that for us,
like,
though.
All I right. looked at it and I was like, oh my God, how nuts. So that was a very
starting off strong.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to off track. And I just want to let you know that I came up, I looked at everyone's feedback and I had a lot more in here, but it was really, really hard because I was like, how am I supposed to know if half of these things have happened? So it was really difficult. There were some, I forget what, there are some that were in there, like took a private jet to the race. And I was like, I don't know if half of them did that or not. Like there were just some things that
I think they're just thinking about, like, obviously Charles is always promoting his VistaJet.
Right.
So like they're thinking like, okay, if they post about it, right?
Right. So first off, we have this is for people that aren't necessarily watching, so, and just listening. So we have a segment of general things. So this is like season wide. It's not something that we're going to track like every single week, because I don't think these are things that would happen every week. So a dedicated Drive to Survive episode. So like if they had like a major speaking role in Drive to Survive, they get 1 point. If they break up with their girlfriend, or like there's a breakup, maybe their girlfriend breaks up with them, whatever. -5. Hate it. If they soft launch a new girlfriend,
okay, 2 points. You should have a -5 on there.
We'll get to that. It's not confirmed.
Okay. Okay.
This is like confirmation, especially now that they all post
freaking
Instagram stories if it happens. New girlfriend hard launch is 5 points because that takes some courage.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 points if they go to a Martin Garrix show.
Perfect.
So we can double those. So like if like Lando goes like 3 Martin Garrix shows, we can put 9 points in there. Like whatever.
Okay.
So anyways, those are like general things throughout the season. And then each race, this is what we'll be
tracking.
If they post a cold plunge pick, 1 point. Mm-hmm. If they wear a non-team outfit, 1 point.
Can we, if for the cold plunge, can it be cold plunge / shirtless photo? Just like, I think that we can kind of broaden the category.
Well, I did a workout thirst trap and that would be a shirtless photo, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Sorry. I've cut you off early. Yeah. Sorry.
So if they wear a non-team outfit, they get 1 point. If their WAG attends a race, 1 point. If they post a workout thirst trap and I include like a shirtless photo in this, 2 mm-hmm. points. If you wear your own merch, -1. That's cringe. If they have a special helmet, 2 points. Yeah, I'm going to get a -1 every week for that, by the way, because Danny's on my team. So. If they post about F1 Academy, 10 points. 10 points. You win. And then if they announce a team switch, 5 points. Because I was thinking, I was like,
what do you mean by switch? Like, you mean like team orders?
No, like silly season. Like if they're switching
teams. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Because I was like, oh, is that fair? Because 13 of them are out of contract. But I was like, some of them could stay at the same team. Yeah. So it's like, if they move teams, that's 5 points.
Love that. Okay.
So let's just start going through them. I tried to do my best. So like cold plunge pick, I don't think we got any cold plunges this weekend.
No.
I didn't see any.
Which is a shame.
Non-team outfits. I know that George, because he came in his absolute Tommy Hilfiger best.
Yeah.
Danny, I think he just wore his Enchanté stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, I guess that's a non-team fit, but I don't know if I count it. But like, I guess I could do it and it just cancels out because of the -1 for his own team merch. Yeah. Charles one day came in a non-team fit. Lando posted about his outfit. Ocon, I think he only wore his team outfit. Obviously, Lewis.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you can just go ahead and put ones. Just put on ones across the board for Lewis.
Him and Joe just get ones across the board. Bottas, I don't think he wore his own clothes. No. And Albon, I think, usually wears his Williams polo.
Correct.
Nico, I don't know. Did you see him at all?
Let me check. I feel like I saw a photo of him, but I think he just wore Haas.
Yeah. Perez never wears his own clothes.
No, I don't think I've seen him in an. I don't think I've ever seen him in normal clothes, if I'm being honest. Literally.
Max never wears his own clothes. Alonso came in looking like Hugo Boss.
Yeah, he looked good. I'll tell you that. I was a big fan.
Lance, I don't think I even saw Lance. And then the only ones from the rest of these that I like saw photos of was Joe, and he obviously was wearing his own outfit. Wags attending the race. That one was pretty clear. So I just marked all of those down. We had Magnussen, Sainz, Russell, Ricciardo, Bottas, Hulkenberg, Alonso, Piastri, and Gasly's Wags all attended. Workout thirst trap. I didn't see any thirst traps. I know Carlos posted one today, but that's not race weekend.
Pierre,
only counting race weekend.
When did Pierre post his dump? I guess it was 5 hours ago. We did get 2.
It's got to be race weekend. Can't be day after.
I feel like if it is a dump, if it's a post related to race weekend, it should count. Okay. Because they're not posting on a Sunday night. Like, I just feel like it's.
Pierre did one. Carlos did one. I haven't seen anyone else.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see anyone.
Are you counting Carlos's from his today? Video series?
That wasn't race weekend, was it?
Oh, okay. I mean, it comes out on Thursday, so like, I guess I kind of consider that race weekend.
Okay, I'll give it to him.
We'll give it to you.
We'll give it to him. And then
because he wasn't a pool. So are we counting in the mountains? Yeah, kind of like a cold plunge.
Yeah. I mean, he was working out. I feel like he was like doing laps or something there. And then the only other person that I feel like might have worn his own merch is Esteban. But let me see if he posted anything. Oh, there it is. He sure did. He wore his new ugly merch. So that's
so ugly.
That is, where is he? Oh, I have him. That's a minus one.
Did Pierre wear his new merch at any point this weekend?
Does he have new merch?
Yeah, he came out with a new collection. It's actually like not too ugly.
Okay, good for him. Let's see.
Yeah, he posted six. He posted right before the last, like he posted in it, which is not during the weekend, but it was during the week. So he didn't wear it.
Okay.
But yes, he does have his own. Oh, wait. Merch, so we will be.
Okay, never mind. All right. And then I don't think anyone has a special helmet because it's the first race. I didn't see any posts about F1 Academy. And then nobody announced a team switch. So that's it for this week, correct?
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so hold on. Pierre did post in his dump he was exercising at the track in his own merch. Are we counting that?
Yeah.
Okay, so give me a negative one.
Please hold, stop the count. Please give me a negative one.
I'm just trying to be fair.
I appreciate that. All right. I'm a 9 and you have 6. So
perfect.
I won week one because okay. We were tied on track and I won off track. So
it's 60 to 57 right now.
Okay. I'm going to post a little graphic.
Tight race.
It really was. And you know what? You can come back. You're going to come back from this loss.
There's plenty of time.
There's so many races left. So yeah, we'll do this every week on the podcast. We'll kind of like go through. And I feel like it'll be fun to kind of keep up with what's going on. I need to do a better job now that we have these.
Yeah, I need. You're right.
Like,
I need to.
Like, keeping track throughout the weekend, like writing those things down. But it's also a fun little look back, a little retrospective, a post-mortem, as Toto would say.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Enough about Bahrain. I want to get into a subject that happened during the Bahrain race weekend, but really had nothing to do with the race itself. And we've talked a little bit about this on the podcast already, but I think everyone's kind of dying to hear from us, as everyone always is. What's going on with Christian Horner?
What is going on with Christian Horner? And here's something that I think that this will deserve its own podcast episode, like kind of just talking about this and really digging into the nitty-gritty details of like what happened and why it's important. So stay tuned for that because we definitely want to really dive in. But at a glance, the TLDR, as they say, is at this very moment last week, Nicole and I were sitting in these exact seats and we were talking about what's going to happen with Christian Horner. And what might that mean, you ask? Christian Horner was under investigation by Red Bull, an independent investigation being, you know, from Red Bull into some allegations from an employee. We don't know exactly what the allegations were. There has been a lot of chatter about
it. Plenty of speculation.
Pretty sure, like speculation is pretty, has almost confirmed what the allegations were, but we still do not have confirmation, which is very important to know. And he was under investigation and they said they were going to come out with an answer before the first race on whether or not Christian Horner was going to keep his job. So fast forward to middle of last week, we hear from Red Bull that the charges against Christian Horner were dismissed and he would be keeping his job as team principal of Red Bull. Now, what necessarily does that mean? There was a lot of discourse online. Some people saying like, I can't believe they found him innocent. Like, he's definitely not innocent. They had 100 pieces of evidence that they went over. How could he be innocent? And some people saying, like, hell yeah, Christian Horner's innocent, like, told you guys, like, this was just, like, a smear campaign. And let's get one thing clear. He was not found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one that came out to say Christian Horner did not do these things. Mm-hmm. The case was just dismissed.
Dismissed.
And if you watch literally any crime show, specifically Law and Order,
Kate has a lot of experience in.
If anyone's ever watched SVU, there can be what's deemed kind of like a mistrial. And that can basically mean charges are dismissed. We can't come. There's no like guilty, not guilty, any of that. And it can happen if like a jury's deadlocked. It can happen if there's like evidence that, you know, it can happen a lot. And obviously mm-hmm. this was not like an American judicial system trial. So like those things, it wasn't like a mistrial or anything like that. But I think it kind of goes hand in hand. The charges were just dismissed. It was not an admission of innocence. It was not deemed guilty. It was just kind of null and void. Like there was no resolution really, other than the fact that like they were not going to do a further investigation. So he very well could be innocent. He very well could be guilty, but Red Bull has decided not to pursue it any further. Mm-hmm. So people were kind of up in arms. Nobody really knew what was going on, and we still had not gotten any transparency from Red Bull.
We just got note from Red Bull saying charges dismissed, Christian stays. That's it. That's all we got. And so, everyone was kind of like, you're not going to give us any more details about this. We're just supposed to believe that everything's cool. Like, what happened? Especially because there was alleged payouts and there was all of this stuff. And so it was kind of sketchy.
So then what happened is we hear reports that someone had sent an email to almost every F1 journalist that there is, as well as team principals, the FIA, Jos Verstappen, and like several other like key figures in the motorsport in the F1 world, with a Google Drive that included photos and like text messages, the evidence that had been gone through at the trial. Mm-hmm. They didn't say if it was the evidence that had been gone through, but it was evidence against Christian. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who sent it necessarily, where it came from, but we know who received it. And again, the important thing to note here is that the validity of those images on the Google Drive have not been validated. So we don't mm-hmm. know if they are real. We don't know if they've been doctored. We don't know if they're faked. Nobody has kind of validated them yet. So that's very important. But it was, so that's something that went out to the entire paddock. So then from there, we had team principals like Zach Brown and Toto Wolff coming out saying, we want more transparency into this. Like, we want to know what's going on. Why have we not gotten any answers? And now we have this, which like looks a certain way. And then apparently the FIA was getting involved, and it's just kind of like gone downhill in mm-hmm. terms of Red Bull's like PR machine. So they kind of thought that wiped their hands clean with it. And then now there's even more speculation. And now it's kind of a, what are they going to do? They're going to either have to address it or wait for it to die down. And
it's giving the Streisand effect.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you try to put a blanket over the flame of whatever this gossip is, and it only makes it worse. And then it spirals out of control, and it makes you look even worse than the initial piece of gossip to begin with. And it's just like, this has taken over the entire sport for the past week and a half. And so it's like,
camera in the paddock was on Christian this weekend. Like, he couldn't take a shit without a camera there capturing it. Like,
people were like watching his every move was documented this weekend, because it was like, we had heard rumors, he was supposed to be out, but then there was, you know, he went to the majority stakeholder and he voted to keep Christian, and there was like all of these rumors circulating, and now there's all of these rumors about Jos Verstappen being a major player in Christian's downfall at Red Bull, which adds a whole nother level of complexity to the situation.
Yeah.
Because it's also like, okay, so Jos is like, I mean, there's been videos of him and Christian talking in the paddock, and we've seen from a couple of publications saying that, you know, he's threatening that Max will leave if Christian stays, and he's tearing the team apart, and it's causing, you know, chaos and turmoil within the team. And some people are talking like, is this a power grab for Jos now? And they're trying to get a hold of the team. What's Jos's angle? Is there an angle? Yeah. Or is he actually being a good guy in this situation? Like, what is going on?
In general, what's happening? And what happens when there's not transparency and no answers is that just breeds speculation. And it breeds rumors like that that have no ground. Like, it's just crazy. And people are, like, as human beings, we intrinsically want to know things. And we want to be in the know. We want facts and information. And so when there is a lack of facts and information, our brains basically just come up with every possible scenario of what could happen. Yeah. That's why, that's literally anxiety. That's what happens when we do not know the outcome of something. So our brains invent every possible scenario that could happen.
And you and I are acutely aware of those situations.
So that's what's happening here. Jerry Halliwell-Horner was at the race. There was all the speculation of if she was leaving him and she wasn't going to be there, but she showed up and they did this whole like
pap walk. There were too many shots of them touching. Like, it was just like, I was like, this is, I don't like, it's gross. I wish she hadn't shown me this.
Yeah. So there's a lot of question marks still. I know that was not really like an answer of like what's going on with Christian, because we still don't really know.
We don't know.
But I think it has a lot of implications for the sport and for the future. So we'll be doing a bigger kind of deep dive, looking at it from like a more zoomed out point of view. But that's kind of your TLDR of what's going on.
Yeah. And there are a lot smarter and more educated people on the subject who are doing the work to like piece everything together, kind of talk to the right sources. We are just kind of regurgitating what we've heard and seen from reputable publications, as well as our journalist friends on the internet. So again, this is just kind of what we know at this point. Mm-hmm. None of it is, there are some facts about like kind of where we're at today, but a lot of it is still really up in the air, which is crazy to say.
Yeah.
I feel like it's bad PR for Red Bull no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just a bad time for them regardless.
Yeah, not a good look.
No.
And the more that they keep things vague and the more that they don't provide answers or a clear plan of action moving forward, the worse it's going to look. That's like crisis communications 101 is you need to,
you don't need to be studying this in crisis comms class.
Yeah. Like, they don't need to give all the information, because you should never give every bit of information, but you need to give enough to satisfy like the questions, stop the breeding of more rumors, and like you have to have a clear plan of action so that people see that, are comforted by it, and then can move on to the next thing. And like, they are just not doing any of that, and it's like astonishing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a wild thing.
Speaking of scandals in the paddock,
another one hit. With the FIA president, of all people.
Which I'm very intrigued by the timing of this.
So, yeah, so the FIA president, Mohammed Ben Sulayem, is now, I don't know if he's under investigation, but a whistleblower, which, incredible that they have a whistleblower on this. Like, this is legit. Like, they are trying to make this we can't go back. I'm like, what are the tapes? We always talk about the
the Watergate.
The Watergate files. But I think that there are some sort of tapes out there.
So we're not getting into this again. We're not getting
still going to figure that one out. But a whistleblower told the FIA that their own president allegedly intervened to overturn a penalty given to Fernando Alonso at the 2023 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So if Saudi this Arabian is true,
Grand Prix always has some drama, huh?
Always have some drama.
What's going but on if there? It's
true, this is the latest in a long line of incidents for the president, who has already faced calls to stand down from his role. So there is all these people saying that, like, Alonso got this penalty, and then allegedly Muhammad called up the head of that, like some other person. He just called Taylor up and said, reverse that dang penalty or else.
And then they did. So you don't want to find out.
But I just am, like, so intrigued by this because, like, well, what does Alonso have on Muhammad then? Because, like, why this one penalty? It just is so specific.
Yeah.
That I'm intrigued by it.
And it's also, like, if why this? Is he doing other things that are kind of suspicious? Right. What don't we know?
Well, apparently there's, like, a long line of incidents. Like, people have been calling for him to step down for a while. So, but yeah, so, like, I don't know why the whistleblower was like, whoa.
This is kind of where I draw the line.
This is a guy, this whistleblower does not like.
He has beef. He has beef on Alonso.
Maybe he has beef with Lawrence Stroll.
Who are Lawrence Stroll's enemies?
Everyone this is where in we need world. To.
This is a it long feels like list. The list.
Who's not his enemies would be the.
It's Otmar. Because he was in the Bahrain paddock this weekend because he's shelling his new travel agency app to everyone in F1, apparently. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but I think he's probably the whistleblower because he's
100%
he's out for blood.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure.
but yeah, it's interesting. What's going on with the men in Formula One? I have a lot of questions. I think this just proves the point that men shouldn't be in charge of things and they should all step down and it should just be women led.
Yeah. And you know who should not be in charge of things? Taylor Swift's boyfriend and his best friend. Because what the heck's going on with Alpine and where are Travis and Patrick?
I was like, okay, what are we talking about? Where are we going with this? What scandals are Travis and his best friend, who I was unsure about who you were talking about, getting into?
I'm just like, where are Travis and Patrick on the whole Alpine thing? Because, like, they just are creating a dynasty right now. And I feel like they should be applying their newfound knowledge to the team that they're investing in. But they're not.
At this point.
And Alpine is absolutely crumbling under the pressure right now. They announced first race of the season, and they're doing a whole technical restructure. So they have two key figures are leaving. So their technical director, Matt Harmon, and the head of aerodynamics, Dirk De Beer, incredible name, Dirk De Beer, have resigned. They're like, we're fucking out of here.
He's related to the De Beers diamond family.
I didn't know that they had one.
Yeah, they're like the biggest diamond family,
well,
I think.
Maybe. Well, maybe they should have contributed to their cousin's team that he was working for. Give them a little cash money. Because now they're restructuring. You know what they're doing? They're going through a corporate restructure, something that you and I know a lot about.
A reorg. It's just a reorg. It's not layoffs. It's not downsizing.
It's not performance based.
It's reorg.
It was a reorganization, and they had redundant roles, and they had to leave. So now what they're doing, how they're structuring Alpine's technical arm, is that Joe Burnell is going to be the technical director for engineering. David Weider is going to be the technical director of aerodynamics. And then Kyron Pilbeam is now the technical director of performance. And all three of them are going to report to Bruno Fahmann. So basically what they did was they said the technical director has not been working out. So what are we going to do instead of having one person supervising all of this? We'll have three different people supervising smaller chunks of the role and, like, doing the role of the technical director. I, for one, just want to know if Travis and Patrick are going to, like, pop in and be like, hey guys, we just won our second Super Bowl in a row. You guys are really letting us down. So here's kind of like, we're going to do a little knowledge dump. Like maybe they're going to start doing some lunch and learns.
I mean, at this point, they're already 19th and 20th. You might as well put Travis in the
car. I think that we need like a lunch and learn on teamwork, mm-hmm. a lunch and learn on working together as a full group, a lunch and learn on how to be two best friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Pierre and Esteban need that for sure.
And especially getting your two girlfriends, wives and girl, or your two wags to be friends. So then you guys are a dynamic foursome.
Double so dates all day. They're trying to
get Flavi and Kika in there. You know what I mean? So they can have the Taylor Brittany effect. Because Brittany, nobody really liked Brittany Mahomes. But then Taylor was like, I like Brittany. And so now Brittany's got a whole makeover, like, in her public opinion. So I'm thinking that this might do wonders for, like, the Esteban-Pierre rivalry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that if they were all, like, friends, then maybe it would look better.
You turn that PR right on its head.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We're open to also providing some lunch and learns if they'd like. As two people with a thriving business.
Spoiler alert, we know a thing or two about business.
We are no longer asking people to come on here to give advice. We are now soliciting ourselves to come to you and give you advice.
Exactly.
We've learned a couple things. What is the farmer's thing? We know a couple things because we've seen
we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Yeah, that's us now. And then the last kind of crazy story that I wanted to talk about that I saw, and I was just like, this is the most random thing I've ever heard. So back in 1995, Gerhard Berger, famously Heidi's dad, got his Ferrari stolen from him during Grand Prix weekend. It got returned to him now. It was recovered by police 3 decades later. So we're all really happy for Gerhard. He's obviously struggling.
Obviously, insurance reimbursed for that stolen vehicle, presumably, right? Mm-hmm. He now has it in his possession again. Do you think he has to repay the insurance company? How do you think that works?
I have no idea.
Never once had to file a claim like this at this level, so I don't really know. I don't really know kind of what the deal is on that. But if anyone not is in insurance clue. Claims and now understands we're back dealing, to help. Yeah, okay. Well, this is not about business. This is about insurance.
Someone if wants anyone to give is us in a lunch and learn on insurance.
If you're familiar with insurance claims and have dealt in the sum of Ferraris. Let me know kind of what the deal is here, because I'm curious.
Yeah. We're intrigued. All right. I don't really have anything else F1 wise or like driver wise. I feel like no one really did anything of importance this week.
No, because the only thing that has been
the on news my mind cycle is Christian.
Christian, yeah,
yeah. But really quick, F1 Academy. Little segment. So Rocked, which I don't actually know what Rocked is, but it just reminds me of
it's Rocket. Not Rocket. It's
no, not it's Rocket.
Rocked.
Rockt. Rocked. So Rocked expanded its partnership with Red Bull Racing and joined the Red Bull Racing Academy program, Red Bull Academy program for F1 Academy. And they're going to be supporting team driver Honda Al-Kabassi. So, yeah, another new sponsor to add to the F1 Academy grid. Another thing that F1 Academy did over the weekend or the past week, which I thought was so cute, is they're having their testing in Jeddah right now. And they announced and kind of launched their Discover Your Drive program, which is something they're doing to help get young kids interested in motorsports. and F1 Academy specifically. So during their testing in Jeddah, they invited students from a local school to tour the pit lane. And then I think they also had some of the drivers and engineers go to the school to talk with them about F1 Academy, which I just thought was so cute. And it was really like amazing. They had a great little video of how the event went. And there were so many kids and they were getting to see the cars. They're getting to see the steering wheels, which I think is really cool. But it looks like a really great initiative and I'm excited to see kind of where they take it this year. But I don't know, I'm excited about F1 Academy. We talked about this the other week, but I think they really are kind of walking the walk in terms of like DEI initiatives and like really make it accessible to people. So I am really excited about F1 Academy this year.
Me too. I can't wait to start watching the races.
All right, it's time for the girls' room.
It's been a minute since we've had a girls' room.
I know, but the Wags were out in full force for the first race of the season this year. So
they
were
very
excited to see that. Carmen was there. Obviously, she and George have like a couple's partnership with Tommy Hilfiger now. So she was there sporting her Tommy Hilfiger best. I almost said Tommy Bahama. Can you imagine? If Carmen and George were working with Tommy Bahama, she just brings her Tommy Bahama beach chair and like like opens it.
She's just like us for real.
I would die. She goes up to the top of the motorhome and is like just sitting in her Tommy Bahama beach chair, just tanning.
Okay, but that's a dream. She's got her like trifold sun reflector.
Yeah, George is just wearing his Tommy Bahama like beach shirts to the track. Oh my god, now I need that to be their next
part. Honestly, I would love that. I said that would be a good April Fool's Day
hysterical
joke.
So Carmen was there with George's mom. It was very cute and wholesome. Kiko was also there, and she had one outfit that I want to talk about because it was this dark denim like Canadian tuxedo, and she just looked so chic. Oh, she looked so good.
I love a Canadian tuxedo though, so I'm sure it looked incredible. And also on her, no doubt. I couldn't
tell if it was like a jumpsuit or if it was like a Canadian tux, but she just looked like really good. I loved like the dark denim. I'm really into like a dark denim right now. Are you looking it up?
Well, it's not in her dump, so
it's the F1 Wags.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a jumpsuit. Either way, so cute.
Yeah, I loved it. She was really cute this weekend.
The denim is too identical. Like it's for it to be.
Yeah, so it has to be a jumpsuit, right?
Yeah.
I loved it. Also Louise and Egle, the two Haas wives, the content of both of their little baby daughters in the paddock.
So cute.
When they were like picking up the daughter to scan in. Oh my god, I was like, this is the content I want, like the next generation of Haas drivers.
Like
I was dead. They're so cute. I want Haas more than winning best friends.
Haas is winning in the court of public opinion right now. They may not be winning on the track, but they're winning in our hearts.
100%. My ovaries, they won.
Not good for me. I have huge baby fever right now.
Same. Rebecca was also in the paddock for Carlos. She's just like a chic bitch. I don't know. Everything she wears, I'm like, you look so good.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls off the short hair so well. I'm just like,
she's tall and skinny and she's beautiful. And so like, of course, love that for her. She looks good in anything. Put her in a trash bag. She'll
literally. Stun. It's too much almost.
She doesn't have to do color theory because every color is.
It's everything. It's every fucking season, truly. we also had our incognito queen Heidi in the paddock. Just nobody ever knows that Heidi's there until afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, look at all these photos of Heidi in the paddock. So for the person that was in our DMs asking if we think that Danny and Heidi are still together, unfortunately, she was there. So sorry to you. Sorry to the Ricardos, but she's still standing by him. She still likes him, even though
she likes him because her prefrontal cortex is not fully developed yet. That's why, dude. That's why.
But don't girls' prefrontal cortexes develop faster?
No,
they're all at the same time.
We're just kind of forced to be mature sooner rather than later.
Do we think that Danny's ever developed, or do we think that maybe he got a couple concussions in F1?
Screaming. That's why Leo only dates up to 25, because once they hit 26, they realize that they're like, why the fuck am I dating this bag of bones?
Yeah.
And then they dip.
Yeah.
So Danny, call your fucking days, because Heidi's going to wake up one day. People are going to be like, whoa, Nicole's had a huge switch up on Danny. What's going on?
I mean, like that girl on TikTok that was like, actually really rude to Danny to say that. And you're like, please, I would literally die for him. So once again, you're going to be accused of being really rude to him.
Whatever.
Tiffany was in the paddock, and I have to say, I enjoyed her outfit. She looked good.
Let's go.
She had like a really good pair of jeans on with some cute sneakers and like a nice, like a cool bomber jacket. Not like the weird ones that Esteban wears, but like a really like a nice like kind of bomber jacket. So appreciated that for her. Tiffany, I think she's been taking some notes. So excited to see more from her. Lily's Niemer was in the paddock, Oscar's girlfriend. She is also, like Heidi, just like incognito. You never know where she's at. We don't see or hear anything from her like ever. She's private on Instagram. She's just like very, very private. But Oscar hard launched her a little bit, finally. Maybe soft launched because it wasn't her face. But he posted a photo of them on his Instagram story holding hands and walking away. And I was like, I just feel like that is the most PDA I have seen out of him almost ever. So
ever.
Maybe he forgot to hold the umbrella again, so he's making up for it by posting a pic. TBD. And then Melissa Jimenez, who is Alonzo's girlfriend, was also there, obviously, because she is an F1 journalist. So that likely place for her to be was in the paddock. But here is a little bit of a rumor that we heard.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a rumor. It is completely unconfirmed. It's kind of been confirmed. It's been confirmed by one journalist that we know, but unsure if it is like how true like her intel is. But allegedly, Charles and Alex have broken up.
Mm-hmm. TTT.
TTT. This would be his shortest relationship because it was under a year. So very interesting. She was notably absent from this weekend's race. Some people have like argued that she was like with Lorenzo's girlfriend celebrating her birthday over the weekend, so like but she was also with Arthur's ex-girlfriend. They like have like a little friendship group now, so I'm like, does it really even matter if they're not dating them anymore because they're still friends? So we can't really take that as confirmation they're still together. So we'll just really have to see.
We'll be watching. Eyes are peeled. Eyes are peeled. Ears to the ground, eyes to the sky.
And I looked at the WAGS pages today, and they posted something about Charles and Alex, but it was like a video of them from a couple months ago. So I don't think that they even have I haven't seen anything recent about them. So very,
I just feel like looking at this list of WAGs, like almost everyone got a point across the board for having their significant other show up.
Yeah.
And it feels suspect that Alex was not there.
I know.
So he's speculating. Really.
Interesting.
He's churning that rumor mill for us.
Yeah. So we're just going to keep our eyes out for that, because I feel like she would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes are peeled. And then I just really wanted to talk again about Luisa, Lando's ex-girlfriend, because she's still on Dancing with the Stars. She's still in it to win it. And I'm obsessed with her. Like, I am loving this, like, post F1 WAG journey for her. Like, and I just hope she's having so much fun.
I just love seeing week to week all of her little outfits.
Yeah.
And like all the little dances she does.
And she always posts like a big story, like the caption was always so long about like her inspiration behind the dance and all this stuff. And I'm like, I love you. I love you.
It's perfect. So I hope she takes the cake. I hope she wins Dancing with the Stars. I would love that arc for her.
All right. Now it's time for a manifest minute. And because I feel like I've done a lot of talking, I'm gonna let you do this.
I'll do the manifest minute. Like we said on our stories recently, we're pretty low on manifest minutes at this point in time. So please send us in your manifest minute. We love to do them, and we love even more when people follow up with us and tell us how the event or, you know, the problem they were having or, you know, whatever, or their wish or goal, whatever it may be, how it turns out. I love to hear it. It's usually always so positive, and, you know, it makes me so happy.
Because our manifesting powers work.
Because we're witches. So today we're going to bestow Brooklyn with our manifestation powers. And Brooklyn recently wrote in and she said that she is currently getting her master's in education in a multiple subject teaching credential so that she can be a teacher. She's a student teaching in fourth grade right now, and she notes that she has a few F1 fans too, which must be so fun to talk to kids about F1. And she's coming up on the biggest assignment of her entire program. So she has to plan, teach, film, and analyze 3 consecutive math plans and send it to the state of California. Already going to stop there and say you're a better person than me, because don't ask me to talk about math at all.
Never.
No. So she just submitted her lesson plan. So now all she can do is wait. And on March 11th, she'll start teaching. So she would love us to use our manifestation powers on 2 things. 1, to help manifest that her students still don't go completely bonkers when she starts to film them, which, understandable, they are in the 4th grade. And 2, help her manifest overall success that she passes this final and she essentially receives her master's program. So I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and take a deep breath in, deep breath out, and really let's picture a rowdy room of 4th graders. We all know exactly what that feels like, what that looks like, what that sounds like. And imagine yourself in Brooklyn's shoes. She is setting up her video camera and asking very nicely. She is pleading with these children. Guys, my job depends on this. And if you love me, you will be good to me. And the kids obviously love Brooklyn because she gets to talk about Formula One with them. So they all sit in their seats very quietly and patiently and let Brooklyn teach them about math. Division, long division, maybe we're doing multiplication tables. I don't know. 4th grade curriculum these days, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. Anyway, it goes off without a hitch. Brooklyn sends in the most flawless, beautiful video you've ever seen of teaching 4th grade students math. And the California Board of Education simply can't believe their eyes. They say, this is the best video we've ever seen in our entire career. Stamp of approval, send her master's degree immediately. Get this woman in the classroom. Our kids need her. Now let's seal that emotion in. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. And let's open our eyes and let's go through this week and really just embody the experience of trying to wrangle 24th graders. It is not an easy experience, but we've all had something similar in our lives where we know that it is going to be a problem, but it's going to be a worthwhile problem because on the other end of it, we're going to receive something that we're really excited and hopeful about. So, yeah. Whether that's, you know, a work project that you're trying to finish because it means that you are potentially up for a promotion in the next cycle, or you're working on a passion project that, you know, people are going to see soon and you're really excited about it. Whatever it may be, let's go into this week with the confidence of being able to tame children and teach them math. because it requires a lot of confidence to be able to do that. And so I will be holding that feeling close to my heart this week because I think we could all use a little bit of that confidence.
I agree. Oh, I love fourth graders. I think they're so fun. When I used to do camp, I'd always rig the system so that I was the fourth grade counselor.
That makes sense.
My mom was the one assigning counselors to the grades.
Really? You rigged the system. Okay, nepotism.
I used my nepotism powers. It was either my mom doing it or it was Jody doing it. And I'd be like, I'm fourth grade. Don't ever give me those kindergartners. No, thank you. I just like fourth graders, they're finally becoming like real people. Mm-hmm. And you can like have a conversation with them and they like kind of get it. They're just like so fun.
But they're still kind of whimsy. You know, they're still kind of fun and goofy. They're not very, like preteens like, yet still. Where they're taking themselves too seriously for the sake of being cool. Yeah.
But you don't like have to talk to them in like a baby voice. You know what I mean? Like, you can be like, what did you do over the week? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to like do weird shit. You can just like talk to them pretty normally. So Brooklyn, I'm sending lots of good vibes because that was what I was picturing the whole time we did that manifest.
Kate is sending a lot of power your way.
I am. But
that is TGYNF for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Recap of where are we next week?
Saudi Arabia.
All right.
Scene of the dramatic crime from last year. So we'll see. So it
makes sense that it's coming up. Let's see what happens to the FIA president. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. Until next week. We'll see you on the internet.
Bye.